Very welcome back. How are you all getting on this Wednesday morning across the Northwest or wherever you happen to be listening to us? It's great to have you on board. And people are fantastic, and the people of this region are absolutely fantastic as well. You would have heard of our story a little earlier on of 11 puppies, and I won't keep going through because I know it upsets people. 11 puppies, just newborns, were dumped in Carrigart, and very sadly, a number of them have passed away. And a gentleman was listening, and anonymously, he called up to the radio station here on his way past, and he's left €100 cash for animals in need, which we will pass along. So isn't that nice? So that's going to help quite considerably in the care of those puppies. So he's dropped that cash into us, and we're going to get that to them. Here's an interesting one. And this is where Dublin really needs to get its act together, or it's going to shoot the golden goose. I was due to go and see Coldplay in Dublin at the end of August. I would take two tickets if they're going, by the way. I was due to go and see Coldplay in Dublin at the end of August, says a listener. I priced to stay two nights and it was going to cost €1,400. Now, I did check around and you can get it for about €600 for the two nights. Still an awful lot of money, right? But this caller, the best they could find was €1,400. For €100 more, guess what they're doing now? Instead of going to see Coldplay and spend €1,400 on a two-night stay in Dublin, they're going to add €100 to that, and they're going to go to Abu Dhabi and stay there for 5 days with bed and breakfast in a five-star hotel. What about that? You know what I mean? And what a beautiful experience they'll have as well. So, as I say, they could see a hotel for two nights in Dublin, €1,400. Now they've scrapped that plan, €100 to the 14, and they're going to stay for 5 days in Abu Dhabi with bed and breakfast in a five-star hotel. A caller says, any friends I have that are gay are just part of the community because they don't go around shouting about it, as I don't go around shouting that I'm not gay. The Pride movement do a lot of damage for ordinary normal people. I kind of talked to some of the problems that they have, I think, just in as a collective, getting people to accept everything that might be wanted or required. It's going to be a challenge. Five kittens dumped in Derrylochan near Glenties a few weeks ago. Disgraceful. They were taken to the vet. They were about 7 months old. The person who dumped those puppies should come forward to protect their mother. Do you seriously think if you're capable of doing that to puppies that all of a sudden you get a crisis of conscience now? We don't even know what's happened to the mother. But I think if you're capable of doing that to these 11 wee things in one bag and leaving them to perish like that there, do you really care about the mother? I don't. I would love to think they would. But anyway, a caller says there's a shortage of labour in Ireland. Everyone in Australia is there. Everyone is in Australia there. There's nothing for them here. They can't get real work to afford a mortgage, a car. We need to give families incentives to come back as they are our families. It's okay to help out the refugees, but there's nothing left for people to work or live. And just when we talk about inward migration, they're not all going to be refugees either over the next 30-odd years. They're going to be people here that are coming for career opportunities. We're constantly recruiting overseas for people to come and work here in the health service, the care sectors, in IT and everywhere else as well. So that figure is just not necessarily a full influx of refugees. They're going to be a considerable portion of them. But just to be clear, it's those two that are coming here to work for a better life as well are included in that number. The government has lifted the embargo on the HSE doctors and nurses, but not the administration of hospital, especially Letterkenny. They're overworked because they don't have enough employees to do the admin work, without which affects all patients and doctors in treatments of patients. Yesterday, we interviewed someone from HICWA, and they were talking about a survey that 1,000 people have been invited to take part in. And I asked yesterday, and I didn't want to say it at the time because I don't want to always come across as negative, but you know, I have the knowledge because I do the interviews and stuff. And excuse me. I thought you weren't able to sneeze live on air, but there you go. Excuse me. I'm so sorry about that. And I says, well, what came out of the last survey that, you know, is being worked on? And she mentioned about the complaints process and the importance of having that structure in place. But, and I did, as I say, I didn't want to say it at the time, but it's not that long ago that people were saying there was a phone that wasn't being answered and the HSE admitted that there were staff issues and this, that and that. So sometimes I you have to call it out too. So there you go. That's it. That's the problem. It's all right talking about what's being committed to be done. It's how it's actually being done. Greg, only people like yourself in the media and politicians are for this massive migration. That's a complete and absolute nonsense. We talk about all sides of it here. That's what worries me about people that hold those views, in that they can listen to a program like this where we talk to people about their concerns as it relates to migration, the pressure on the services, concerns in local communities, people's concerns about the cultural impact it might have. All of those views are aired, and we have that conversation on this program, not least during the local election debates. And yet someone who seemingly listens to the program regularly claims that I'm all for mass immigration or migration. That's what worries me about people that hold these views, is that they can't actually hear when the wider conversation is being had here. It always does happen here on Highland, or on this show anyway. All vehicles need to be banned from our beaches. It's selfish and leads to our beaches being destroyed. And it's a picture accompanying it of someone on their hollybobs, and it looks lovely. You know, they're in a nice fancy Mercedes camper with their awning out, and it's parked on the beach. There's the picture. I'm not terribly offended by it. I do see it. I think peers are more of a problem. I went to Aldi and returned my bottles. This is yesterday. Aldi announced a million items have been put through these deposit return machines in Donegal alone, in 6 Aldi stores, and 173,000 in tax has been redeemed. Went to Aldi and returned my bottles and put them all through the machine, but before my receipt printed, an error came on the screen and I didn't get the receipt. I went to the shop and I told the cashier that there was a problem with the bottle return. She said there was no one there. She says, no, there isn't. I fixed it 10 minutes ago. I said, well, it's taken my bottles and I didn't get a receipt. She shrugged her shoulders and said, I can't help you with that. I left the shop fuming. What's the point in going to the trouble of collecting the bottles and bringing them back when you have staff with that attitude? The cashier didn't take my details, and being as I was in a hurry, I didn't see a manager. I think it's not good enough and should be somewhere. There should be somewhere this can be reported to. Well, I would say tag Aldi Ireland on Twitter or X. They won't be long replying to you because they don't like bad publicity. Hi, Greg. Donald Trump named vice president running mate this week, Ohio U.S. Senator J.D. Vance. The corrupt NATO and EU elite should be very, very worried this morning. The forever Ukraine war the elites deliberately provoked over many years will be ended early next year, one way or other. There'll be a new day dawning and a serious reckoning for the corrupt European elites. That comes in from Raymond. Okay, Raymond, but I mean, that solution would be if Donald Trump says he can finish the war in a week, and Putin said the same, and of course, J.D. Vance, very opposed to the funding of the Ukraine war. What does the war ending look like? Is it conceding all the land the Russians have taken to them? How long will they sit on that before they go, right, there's other countries here that we believe also is part of Russia. The West has backed down to them once. This, what I'm saying is the consequences and ramifications for all actions. So I don't know. We have to be careful, I suppose, that we don't get what we wish for, if that makes sense. Traffic is chaos coming into Letterkenny. I passed the Mount Errigal as there are roadworks doing sign works on the roads. They've been at it since before 8:30 this morning while people are trying to commute to work. Why can this work not be done at night? The disruptions they are causing are just insane. Could you ask if anyone knows where iodine tablets can be bought? I remember years ago the government sent them out to households when there was a fear of nuclear fallout. I fear we're almost at that point again. Interesting. I think there's still going to be some medical drawers or medicine cupboards or whatever it is with those old iodine tablets out. Interesting, when the Ukraine war started, iodine tablets were sold out effectively in Belgium. I'm not sure if they were actually given by the state or they just become available, but such was the fear of a nuclear fallout or nuclear war at that time that in countries such as Brussels and Belgium, and I'm sure there were others, iodine tablets all sold out. People stocked up on them, which seems crazy, but I suppose you can understand why you could do it. In terms of iodine tablets here, I don't know what the correct advice is in that regard, where they're available. But do you really fear that you need them in the event of a nuclear event? Right, we're joined in studio now by Pat Gallagher and Gavin Boyle. Gentlemen, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
Morning,
good morning, Greg. Good morning.
You all look very fresh, considering all the work you have been doing.
Give us a couple of weeks, that'll dissipate.
In 10 days' time, it'll be a different picture altogether.
These gentlemen are co-directors of the 57th Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. It runs from the I've got July 2nd here. That's not right.
No, 27th.
Yeah, the 27th of July to Monday, the 5th of August. And, you know, it's a full year in its making, isn't it, Pat? You know, this is... And looking through the programme now, it's... You can see it evolving into to something really, you know, a little bit different, very exciting, lots of different stuff going on.
Yes, it's vitally important in the month of August that we, as a small committee, that we sort of put our heads together and say what went well, what wasn't so good, you know, and what can we build on. And then from about the end of September onwards, we really do get down to it, picking days, picking events. Look at this artist, look at this act, look at this idea, and then by the time you're into January, February, you basically have it done.
And this festival, as much as any, if not more than others, Gavin, recognises the economic boost to an area. And we're going to get down to the fun stuff as well, but this is fun as well. But in terms of, you know, promoting, you know, food suppliers or just getting traffic into businesses, like, it's huge for the area, isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. At the end of the day, the festival, this is the 57th year, and for people to get to Dunloe, they have to come from every corner of the country, be it through Ballyshannon, be it through Lifford, Buncrana, Derry, Letterkenny. So it's a boost for the county as well as the locality. People are starting to travel to it from various areas around the county. So it's good for that there as well. But we are trying to make it more countywide as well as kind of Dunloe-wise.
And why do you think, Gavin, it remains so popular? Good question.
I think we offer diversity, really, and a mixed programme. I think that's what it is, and we are always trying to change to make it new, make it relatable, and every year we're looking for that something different just to entice people to come back.
Yeah, and Paddock has a sort of a sense of a family festival as well.
It has. It's very much so. Well, the Marys, of course, is the theme. It's all about the Marys, and that makes it the worldwide appeal. But yes, indeed, when you look at the programme, you see it's very family orientated, both in children's and teenagers and right up. Yes, and that's something that's synonymous with the festival for a long number of years. So it is family, family, family.
And when I talked about sort of the festival staying relevant and evolving and adding different things, the big fun day by the bay on the shorefront in Dunloe, it's on Saturday the 27th from 11 a.m. There's a lot going on there. The emergency services display is there, but there's also sort of a recruitment drive going on as well. How did that evolve?
Well, we looked at it in the emergency service, particularly after Chrysler 2 years ago, and we thought it'd be a nice way to honour them and let the public see the emergency services that are within our county. And when we spoke to several people, they said, oh, we could use that day for to display our wares and our skills, but also to recruit. So you have the volunteer section and you also have the career section in that there. And when that sort of grew legs, for want of a better word on it, private companies came on board then saying, could we join in on the day and could we do recruitment as well? So we have a broad range of all professionals, all skills, all
The initial idea was there, and then it grew from that naturally, which shows it's a good sign. Yeah. That's going to be a great day, isn't it?
We have 23 in total at the shorefront.
I mean, obviously, you have the spectacle of the emergency services and the fantastic work that they do, but then so much else going on alongside it. Another thing that jumps out for me, Gavin, is the food and drinks fair. And I was talking just in the preamble there about, you know, it's also a great opportunity to support that sector as well. What's going on that day?
Yeah, well, really initially we wanted to introduce a lot of people like the food. People are foodies now these
Tell
days.
Tell me about
it. Yeah. And so we got involved with the Food Coast Ireland and Maura Toner here in Letterkenny, and we met with them and decided we would actually focus on Donegal producers. And Pat Conan, a guy that's on the committee with us, Pat took it on board himself and he ran with it. We sat down with all the local producers to try to make it more local So that people from the county would recognise the producers that we have in the county and what we have available within the county too. So it is solely Donegal producers that will be exhibiting on the day. And then it's running from 11 till 5 o'clock. And then we also have five local chefs that are going to demonstrate different courses throughout
people
the day
love that
as well.
Stuff. Oh, it's a fantastic day out.
It's great. It really is brilliant. And they have some fantastic prizes and giveaways and stuff like that there on the day too.
Brilliant stuff. And of course, too, you know, obviously the local media bees down there, we're going to be down there, have our presence, which is great as well. But sort of moving to T.G. Cahir's involvement, that's really quite significant, isn't it? Not just for the festival itself, actually, but for the county and the area.
It is. It's great. And we're extremely happy to have them back on board again this year to stream the Crown and Cabaret on the Sunday night. It's a great way for the festival and the town to get the word out worldwide. Like their numbers last year that viewed the actual show were the highest viewership, I think about this right, the highest viewership apart from sport.
Well, really?
Yeah.
That's really quite impressive. No wonder they're back.
Yeah, so that was kind of something we played to our benefit, that we could go back to them and say, well, listen, let's come on board, let's work together again.
But it's also about the quality in which they do it, which is important as well, and it is done at a very high quality, and it sits there then equal to or up there with the likes of the Rosetree and other similar type events, just that part that people see.
Yeah, and it is brilliant, and I suppose a huge selling point is the man who looks after it.
Who's
on
that?
The night.
The one and only, yes.
He obviously has a great pull, and the festival wouldn't be the festival without him.
Yeah, talk about that, Pat, because Daniel O'Donnell is a, I was going to say, strange character. I don't mean it like that. But, you know, the thing that always amazes me about him is that this guy is nationally, internationally renowned. He people wait all year for him to go out and do concerts in Australia and everywhere which way he can. And you know, he could do as much TV work as he's wanted to, if you know what I mean. But he's choosing his own life, and he loves his own area, his own community, and he just moves around his community. No one bothers him, of course, as well. But this and other aspects of sort of, you know, our culture in West Donegal, his interest in it is amazing. But it's vital to, as Gavin says there, for the continued success.
Yes, he's a fantastic character, Daniel
O'Donnell.
That's
the word I should have used, fantastic. But you know what I was trying to say.
Yes, he's a fantastic character. And as you know, I've had 21 years of touring with Daniel fans all around the world. When you see him in the State Theatre in Sydney, or when you see him in Vancouver, or when you see him in Branson,
it's like Bruce Springsteen's just walked out to the stage here. It's that sort of reaction.
And you see all that there, and you think to yourself, he is so modest, he's so at home. He thanks God at every show. He ends it by thanking God for he's doing what he enjoys doing, and that's the singing. And he just brings that, parks that, does that, and without any change of attitude whatsoever, he can go on to the stage in Dunloe, or he can go get up on the stage in St Mary's in Hall in Kincastle and perform with the exact same dedication. Mm. So, yes, he really is our festival.
He's exceptional, even of his time, really, because he does try to get to as many events as he possibly can.
But you see him around the place. He's busy and around the place. Brilliant. He's darting from one thing to another.
Yes. Well,
like it's integral.
Last year on the Wednesday night, the Ronan Collins show was on in the waterfront when we were up there, and I had come up from the town, and he said to me, he goes, have the tumbling paddies started yet? And I said, I think they're coming on. He goes, I'd like to go down there. So we headed down the town, and within about 20 minutes, he was on the stage with the paddies. And you know, Greg, the age demographic was there maybe from 16 to 30. They were all singing There's a Fire in the Kitchen, a song that they really shouldn't know.
I know, yeah.
But they knew, and it blew him away, and it blew everybody away. They thought that This is
brilliant. Oh, that music, the Tumbling Paddies, Daniel, it's cross-generational. Yeah. It really is quite remarkable. Yeah. You mentioned Roland Collins. He's back, isn't he? Dominic Kerwin and Susan McCann's with him.
Yep.
Yes. He's singing the show band hits. Just in case someone went to it last night or last year and missed it, he's back again. And we're going to focus on sort of the Mary side of it as well, but there's an awful lot going on around it. We've mentioned sort of, you know, two big key pivotal dates, the big fun day by the bay, the food and drink fair, but entertainment throughout the course of the festival in the various bars and stages and what have you. Gavin, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and we're very, very lucky to have both all the bars in the town doing their entertainment throughout the week. And the Bridge Inn and McCafferty's have their own marquees, and they're taking in huge acts as well. They have Dan McCabe, the Whistling Donkeys are there, the Tumbling Paddies are there. They have a varied, varied, varied mix of musicians throughout the week. Oni's Bar have all their country music, and the hotels have music and everything as well. So it works out well. We have our street music, they have their own entertainment, and it's
and the way they've done it too is the weather. Now, hopefully we get great weather this year, right, Pat? But the way it's been set up is that the weather doesn't dampen the spirits. Life can go on.
With
the marquees and everything else. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it doesn't draw to a halt. People can still travel in. And just in terms of people going in too, because I think sometimes, and I think I mentioned this last year actually, but I'm going to do it again anyway, is that we kind of want to do something, but then something stops us doing it and we start sort of, well, what about parking or what about this or what about that? I mean, I think if people haven't been into the festival, pick a night, go in and enjoy it, Pat. Yes. You know what I mean? It's a great, friendly, safe environment.
Yes, it is. And parking, we're pretty well off for parking now.
So, yeah.
We have the Cope Car Park, we have Olive Chapel Road, we have the Quay Road, we have the Quay down by the shore.
It's all actually quite close to the action.
It actually is. Mm-hmm. You know, last weekend I was in Dunleary to see the emergency service, and this is a repeat of what we're doing in Dunloe next week. And we had a park about a mile away, right? And young Patrick was with me, and the two of us walking down. It was sun was splitting the rocks. Lovely morning, great altogether. And we didn't bother taking our coats, and by the time we got down to the harbour, we got soaked. Right. And I was just thinking, when Dunloe, you're only 2 or 3 minutes from everything, you know. So, yes, we're okay for parking. Yes, it's a nice environment to come to. We have a fantastic guard the presence in Dunloe. Sergeant Kevin McGettigan, Dermot and the full team, Mags, the whole great team of Gardaí there. And we work very closely with them. We work with the local ambulance service as well. So everything, and of course the fire service, everything is very cooperative in the way we work.
Yeah. Yeah, it lends itself really well for this kind of stuff. I like the, and me and Ashley and Hudson last year did it. At some point we were there during the day. It might have been before or after after the show we did. But just, I love that, just walking around along the street. Do you know that kind of stuff? And then you go up and then there was Irish dancing up on the stage, worldwide award-winning Irish dancing up on stage, and music as well. And then you just walk down, the smell of happiness and fun. And
yes, you can see it in people's face. And I think the presence of the Marys, going around all the businesses and on the town, there's a little bit of camaraderie and a little bit of photography and, you know.
Well, they'll all say the Marys, not all, but, you know, I mean, they've all got the different reasons as why they enjoy it. But it is the interaction with the locals and particularly the young people, because a lot of the young people, these girls, they are superstars, don't get me wrong, but they really feel they are. And it must be infectious because they all talk of that and the community amongst themselves and just mixing with and the great night's crack and everything. Right, so let's get on to the Mary's side of it as well. Again, a huge entrant this year, it looks like, anyway. Little Miss Mary, of course, is there. The Philly Mary. UAE is back. The Dunloe Mary is always going to be there, of course. Dublin Mary and London Mary and Glasgow Mary and places from all over the world represented. And that work in terms of the selection process to select those Marys, that goes on for months and months and months. But now we have the final lineup of ladies.
We're very, very lucky again. We've a few new ladies this year. Edinburgh is back, and the Wicklow Mary is also a new Mary that we have back there as well. We are trying to find new centres, new selections, just to open it up a bit as well, just to make it more national and kind of international between Ireland and the UK, because those are the people that are travelling. Mm-hmm. And it's great that we have our international Marys there as well, from the UAE and New York, Philadelphia, and Bayonne will hopefully be back next year as well.
And we are going to have them in studio here as well, as we do traditionally now. Look forward to that. That's coming up on Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah, indeed.
Can I mention one little
Pat,
in relation to
you
the
mention everything.
Sorry?
You say whatever you want to say. Don't
oh, no,
me.
That would be a very bad idea.
All right, okay.
We would fall out. That's why, that's why Pat Conahan's involved. He has to have
mediate.
Somebody.
He's the ref.
Yeah.
He's the ref.
Sorry, in relation to the Marys, there's one little point that I would like to make, and we discussed this over the winter. I would like more involvement with Donegal associations.
Yeah.
Our Dublin, our London, and our New York, and I would like to bring that into your Boston, and to Chicago, and to Toronto, and Philadelphia. It's a link with home.
Yeah.
And it's an immediate connection. Mm-hmm. And well, I'm biased. I say we have one of the most beautiful counties in Ireland, right? And I think of all the tourist attractions that we have in this county. You know, when, as you know, I've been out of the festival for a long time, and I'm not really back in it. It's this boy here that's the boss.
And but, yet here we are.
Yes. I beg to differ there.
31 years later. Yes. The only thing that hasn't changed is the hairstyle, right? But no, if you want to turn back a bit, Greg, over the years, and just look at how much tourism has come on, mm-hmm. and the tourism attractions have been developed in County Donegal. I'm quoting some figures to you now that's near enough. They're not probably quite right, but 80,000 people plus visit Fannet Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. That was unheard of 30 years ago.
Huge numbers.
Right. Over 120,000 people visit Slieve League. And of course, with visiting Slieve League, you have the entire Glencolumbkill Peninsula, don't you? And you have really, what you have with Slieve League is you have from Donegal Castle right through to Glencolumbkill Folk Village. It's a lovely tourism trail. And of course, we have the kingpin of all. We have Glenveagh Castle, which is now doing over 200,000 mm-hmm. visitors a year. So I'm very passionate about Donegal. Naturally, the Mary from Donegal would be my second love. But I have to say, I would like the Donegal associations more involved, and we would like to create a link with them.
And know? It's a two-way thing.
Yeah, it's a two-way thing, because look how receptive. Look at the welcome we get whenever the Mary goes to New York to lead the Donegal Association on St. Patrick's Day, and that's a huge honour, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, fantastic. Right. So, I mean, there's lots of stuff going on, pay on the door stuff. How do people find out, you know, if they sort of want to plan their itinerary, Gavin? Because, I mean, obviously there's a great booklet here, but, you know, you can't get them to everyone.
Not everybody is accessible to that, obviously, the handheld booklet, but everything's online on
the Facebook
website.
Page as well.
Facebook page, website yeah. Everything is there. The full program's there. There's links to tickets for anybody that needs tickets for anything like that there. The festival phone is now live as well, so we're taking bookings for kids' events and everything that are taking place.
Fantastic.
Too. And we have a range of kids' events on this year as well. Some of them are going to be incorporated into the carnival parade, mm-hmm. the Pops and Puppet. Orson Stewart from Northwest Events is doing a lot of work for us, and he's doing circus acts and drum and samba. So he's going to incorporate all of that work that he's doing during the week into the carnival parade. Yeah.
And do you know, we actually really haven't mentioned the festival stage, or I haven't either. There's a load of great acts on the festival stage as well, in addition to everything that's happening there.
And around the place, yeah.
Okay. And Gavin is promoting young musicians.
Yeah, I love that.
I like that, but I really do like that. And Daniel has been on about that for years, hasn't he? Give them a chance, give them an opportunity.
And do you know what I think is great about it? Because I've said it on this show before as well. Oftentimes there's a stage idol, and the amps are there, yep. and the speakers are there, and they're playing out a little bit of music, and nothing's happening, but you're filling it with talent, which I think that's great.
Sorry, can I just mention, whenever you were talking about social media there, can I just mention, we have we encourage new people to come into the festival every year. We never ask somebody to come in and do a week's work for us. Mm-hmm. We say, would you help us with such an event? and that's fine. And then once they're in, you get volunteers saying, oh, I think can I give you a hand tomorrow or such a thing like that. One lady we would like to thank is Emer Walsh, yeah. Isn't that right? For social media. Yeah, she's just fabulous. Mm. A young student, so she's made across. Yeah, great lady.
She's studying down in Athlone, and she was in her second year last year. And we asked her to come on board. She's doing marketing and media. And
brilliant.
She just took it from zero to...
Brilliant. Well, fair play. And it's good to mention, because we'll start seeing tons of her stuff even more so.
Now that she's coming from. The pressure started for Emer.
And then, of course, just from the Mary's perspective, they've got their full itinerary, includes calling in here on Tuesday. Then the Waterfront Hotel Gala Ball is on the Friday night. It's a sellout.
Yep.
Black tie. And then the event itself, broadcast on TG Cahir. It's the 2024 Mary from Dunloe Crowning Cabaret. It's a fantastic night, by the way. Are there still tickets available for that?
There are still tickets available for that.
That's a great night out. And because it's televised, it means there's a nice clean start. Clean middle and the clean end.
It can't run on.
Sally
Dibber keeps everything running to point there.
And that in a way, restricts us and makes us think about the number of Marys we can have participating. You know, because if it's a 2.5 hours program, right? Therefore, there's only so much time you can give to each one of them. You know, so that in itself keeps us in line.
There's a lot of quality content there because it all is in a confined space, so to speak. And of course, Daniel's the man there as well. TG Cahir have someone on the floor as well too, which is a lovely
Sean O'Beale.
Thanks, Gavin. I forgot the man's name. Sean O'Beale, he's there adding a bit of colour commentary to it as well. Fantastic. It's going to be great. Anything you want to mention before we go, Gavin? I'll start with you.
The few things, if that's okay. Again, just want to mention the La Gala obviously is a huge day during the week of the festival, and Carl Doherty looks after that there for us. And this year he's introduced, there was a local gentleman who passed away a number of years ago, Neely Boyle. So he's introduced a perpetual award for local musicians. And we're very fortunate to have Mairéadh Mooney. She's going to be the first recipient of the award. So that's going to happen.
So talented. You talk about, Pat, you talk about this county and promoting this county. I mean,
yes, she's amazing.
You know,
So it's great that she is. And it's great that she's local and stuff as well. Another addition that we have this year as well is the Artist Trail. A local lady, Heidi, I'll not even attempt her second name, has organised an artist trail around the area, incorporating 12 artists in their own studios, and she's mapping everything done up. So if anybody is into that, along with the art exhibition that's on the CDP, this is just part of a trail that Heidi has set up for them as well.
Mm-hmm. And is it Noreen and Sean McGlynn that are opening the festival?
We're thrilled. Noreen and Sean have been in the town for over 50 years. And it's great to give them the recognition that they deserve in and around the town.
Yeah, and a lovely honour. It's a fantastic honour. And it's great to see regular folk, if you know what I mean. Yes. Pat, what do you want to talk about before we go?
Well, first of all, on behalf of Gavin and I and all the committee, thank you for hosting us here today. It's just lovely.
Pleasure.
And we look forward to
Highland Radio. Into the calendar, isn't it, now?
Yeah, we look forward to Highland Radio being in with the Jive show on the Wednesday and back again with your show on the Friday morning. Mm-hmm. When you're doing something like this, I didn't realise until Gavin told me, 110 events that are in it. You know,
we
had 103
that,
last year. I don't know where we got the extras from. But... there are people all along the way from October right through till the month of July that help you, the sort of behind the scenes, you know. Mm-hmm. So Daniel and Magella really, really work with us throughout the year. It's not just a one-off. You can bounce anything off Daniel and say, what do you think? Ask Magella as well. Pat the Cope has always been very supportive to the festival. No more so than this year. Isn't that right, Kevin?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Through your show, we would like to pay tribute to the lady who retired this year after 30 or 31 years, Mary Ward. Mary Ward, fine, festival is high, festival is low. Mary Ward stuck with it, ever present with it. And I recall many years her coming on your show and saying, please come, please come. You know, so she has to be recognised. And it was just 31 years of service, which was a very nice thing.
Amazing.
There's just dozens of people behind the scenes. And what I like about working with Gavin is you get teams of people. you know. And if you've seen the new names coming out, I said to him, who's that? You know, and isn't that right? You know, and you know, he's like a magnet to them, you know.
Delegation is called delegation.
Is that what you call it? Right, right. And whenever I phone people up to say, oh, no, I'm not here.
Okay, listen. Well, it all kicks off on the 27th of July, runs to August the 5th. Get onto the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival Facebook page or website. You'll see a downloadable programme there and pick stuff out that you can go and see. Great live music on the streets, in all the bars. There's that fantastic display that and recruitment drive, the food and drinks fair, and so much more besides. Pat Gallagher, Gavin Boyle, co-directors of the 57th Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. Both of you, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully all the planning pays off.
Thank you very much, Chris.
While we're saying goodbye, can we just ask the public, over July and August, we have an emergency services day in Dunloe. If you're going on the water, if you're going on the road, if you're going hiking, if you're going camping, if you're going outdoors, would you please be careful? The emergency services are there to help you. They're not there for fun.
All right, brilliant stuff. Thanks very much. And on that note, delighted to welcome onto the programme now Danu Morrigan, author of How to Go No Contact with Your Narcissistic Mother, Even Though You Think You Can't. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Hi, Greg, and thanks for having me on.
It's a toughie, this, isn't it? Because even to get to the point where you might think, right, this book could be for me, you know, you've quite a bit to work through.
Absolutely. I have been working with daughters of narcissistic mothers since 2008, and I wrote this book because the biggest sort of level of emails I ever got was, I'd love to cut her off, I'd love to go no contact, but, and then would come all the reasons. So this book was written to help them through the reasons, help them resolve it, and to choose their freedom. And that's why the bit, Even Though You Think You Can't, is added to the title, because it's exactly for people who think, no, couldn't do it, and I'm here to say, yes, you can. And it's a big decision and not an easy one, but sometimes it's a necessary one.
You would see patterns over your time. What normally are people talking of where you sort of go, right, OK, you're dealing with a narcissistic mother here who having contact with might be negative for you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I never diagnose anybody because I wouldn't be qualified to do that. But I can say the way she's acting and the way she's treating you is consistent with the way a narcissist might act. And it's never good for you if you're dealing with a narcissist of any flavour, right? Because they don't want things to be good for you. They want things their way and nobody else matters. So it's a question of how much, you know, bad treatment are you going to put up with? Now, this book does not make anybody go no contact. I'm very aware that everybody should make their own decision, and I'm here to empower people rather than tell them what to do. But I'm saying this is how it would work. And things like, you know, what about other family members? What about inheritance, if that was, you know, if that's on the table? What about your siblings? What about everybody, you know, thinking you're a bad person if you do it? All these things come in and have to, and, you know, and they're all valid, Greg. They're all really valid issues or concerns. And it's about resolving those.
Yeah. And the reason it's about mothers is, as you've already outlined, you shared your own experiences. And we're inundated with people that this resonated with.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Now, again, I don't know that my mother was narcissistic. It's only my best guess. But
there comes a point where you're making a decision for yourself, right? And you know, you have to put a name on it.
Yes, exactly. It's a good label. And in fact, one of the queries, the buts is, what if she's not narcissistic? And my answer is, that's okay. She's still treating you really badly. And narcissism might be the reason for it, but it doesn't matter, actually. And the trouble is, in healthy relationships, we're all about each is making the other better or making the other's life better. But narcissists never make your life better. So, yeah, there comes a time, not when you have to choose yourself, but when you might like to.
Yeah, but what about sort of, you know, maybe not uniquely, but say in larger families, there might be less demonstrative, you know, ways of going on, maybe less hugging, maybe not enough time to make sure everyone is perfectly getting on well or to support everyone that's in the family. And maybe the mother's had 6 or 7 or 8 children and has, you know, put in some shift themselves through their entire adult life. How can we make sure that it's not that? You know, and that's mom, and we just have to accept that that's mom's life, and that means the relationship we have, versus it being like sort of her not caring, not wanting to hug us, not caring to support us.
That's a good question. And in a way, there's two things there, two aspects. One is that she was just so busy, lots of children, working maybe, running the farm, whatever, and just didn't have time for us. That's one factor. And I think we'd know, because the narcissists do more than just not hug us, right?
Yeah, and I think when we start getting like, down the questions, does she build you up, then tear you down? Does she hijack your children? Is she a fan of faux-pology? Now, that takes actually effort. That takes more effort than a hug. So it's when you start adding the extra questions on, I think that the things become a little bit more clearer.
Yeah, because narcissistic personality disorder, or, you know, no mother is perfect. I'm a mother, and I can assure you I'm not perfect. You know, we're not talking about cutting people off or normal human foibles. Obviously that'd be ridiculous. It's about a consistent pattern of behavior which undermines, invalidates, you know, tells you you're imagining things, never resolves anything. That's that. And the second question is, and a woman who's just busy and overwhelmed, and in our Irish way we were never really, you know, that demonstrative, that's completely different. And then somebody who's had a hard life herself, I can acknowledge that and we can feel sorry for her, but that's not a license to abuse her own children.
No, of course. It's the abuse that I think a lot of people listening to this who've had children see their parents with their children, and they've got so much more time and so much more love and so much affection, and they don't necessarily recognise that person from their childhood. I think that comes down to the time thing and the busyness and all that kind of stuff, and it can be tough. Yes. But as you say, when you start layering the other stuff on as well, that's where sort of a trend and pattern can sort of start developing. And you have to do the right thing. I think sometimes we believe that because we are blood related to someone that we must maintain connections, they must be in our lives. But the fact that we have the same DNA does not mean that we are emotionally compatible. And even a tenuous relationship can be quite destructive and negative. Why would we do that? Why do that?
Exactly, because a narcissist will say, my way or the highway. They will not compromise. And the thing is as well, Greg, it's not just that the abuse was in our childhood. It's ongoing, right? So we're constantly getting wounded. So, yeah, exactly, just because they're related to us. You know, back in the 1950s, women weren't allowed to leave abusive husbands, you know. Probably legally, it wasn't made easy for them, but certainly culturally. And it was, you made your bed, lie in it. And we got over that. We realised that a woman deserves to be safe in her own home. And I think we're at that stage of society where we're still living by the old, well, she's your mother, you have to keep in touch with her. And on the cusp of, well, no, we don't have to be in touch with anyone who abuses us.
All right, we'll go to the news in a minute or two. Is the narcissistic trait, not exclusive, nothing's exclusive, far more likely to be in the mother towards their children than the father? Or is it just that you spoke of your personal experience and you were inundated with people that they could relate to or that could relate to you?
Anybody can be a narcissist. A father can be, a partner can be, and that's a whole other tragedy.
Yeah, it's another book.
But I felt, exactly, I was writing about my own experience, and to the extent that it applies to fathers or sons, by all means read my stuff. And to the fact that it doesn't, I'm not in a position to talk about it. So that's why I decided on that very specific.
So how do people get more information on you, your writings, and I suppose access to this book, Danu?
Oh, you're very good. Thanks, Greg. If they go to my website, donm.info, D-O-N-M stands for Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers, .info, and they will get lots of information there as well first. And then, you know, links to the book and other books, indeed, I've written as well.
All right, fascinating. All right, thank you so much for your time. And sorry for delaying. I come to you a little late, but another thing ran on. So I really appreciate your patience. All right, take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Take care.